said. Aren't holidays great? I love holidays. It's a break from routine. And of course, some people seem to go on holiday all the time. You know, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. But holidays are great. They're a time of renewal, of rest, of retreat. Of renewal. And I think that's what was happening with Peter. If you look at the end of chapter 9 of Acts, it says, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now, Peter had just been involved in, as we heard last week, he'd healed, humanly speaking, a man who'd been bedridden for 8 years. He'd brought Dorcas or Tabitha back to life. We know when Jesus was walking the earth, and he was surrounded by a crowd, and a woman reached out and touched him, he felt power leaving him. It's tiring. It's tiring. It's rewarding, but it's tiring being involved in the Lord's work. Now, I believe that Djokovic and Nadal enjoy playing tennis, and so do the other two. But after 11 plus hours between them, I bet they were both pretty exhausted. I'm going to try and do the same with my sermon today. No, it's all right. It's not 11 hours. I won't even reach double figures in number of hours. But he was having this holiday, this break. And in a way, it was like a retreat. He'd had all this, all that was going on. Very exciting. He'd heard the reports of Philip. You remember 2 weeks ago? Philip went and spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. Reports must have got back to Peter about that. And Peter had been involved in the revival in Samaria. And he was, you know, probably puzzling. What next? What do we do next? And he was thinking it all through. And so, just like mad dogs and Englishmen, he went out in the midday sun. You remember that song? I don't know who wrote it. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. And it says in chapter 10, verse 9, about noon the following day, Peter went up on the roof to pray. It was a flat roof. It's in the Middle East. It's noon. Duh. You don't do that. But he did. He needed to spend time with God to find out what God wanted to do. And as he was there, well, it was lunchtime, and he did begin to get hungry. He'd been up there probably some time. I mean, the other day someone came round. They'd been out all day in the sun, and they said, you know, I'm feeling rather funny. The sun had got to him. How it got to Peter, it must have got him. There are all sorts of explanations of what happened or why what happened next. But he fell into a trance and had this vision of these animals being lowered in a sheet before him and a voice saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he saw, well, we know, don't we, that the Jews and Muslims and other faiths, they have certain animals which are considered unclean or too sacred to eat. A Jew would never eat pork, for example, nor I believe would a Muslim. But, you know, all sorts of things were lowered in front of Peter, and the voice said, come on, get up and kill and eat. And Peter goes all holier than thou and says, no, I've never eaten anything that is unclean. After the third time, God said to him, look, if I'm calling it clean and worth eating, don't argue. Do not argue with me. It was such an unexpected answer to Peter's questioning. What do we do now? What do we do with what's going on? Could Peter get his head round this totally unexpected questioning? Answer. Now, we're all faced with questions in our daily lives. We lose a job. What do I do? We're in financial difficulties. What do I do? Here in church, we've got the music question. It's wonderful that Nicola and others help out on the second Sunday of each month. But we need more. We're okay with CDs and anything that's recorded on the Clavinova, but it's only okay. What do we do? We ask God, what do we do? What do you want us to do? It's lovely to have everybody here. We would love to see more people here of all ages. It looks like we need to stoke up a bit the youngsters and teenagers. So how do we reach out in a way that convinces them that God is so great? We're asking these questions. We're facing these dilemmas. What is God going to say? He's got an answer. He's got answers to all these questions. And it could be incredibly and totally unexpected. His answer may be all about working in a different way. Are we prepared to listen? Are we prepared to change our way of thinking, of doing things, just as Peter had to change his way? Anyway, let's leave Peter on the roof, puzzling over the pictures that have just come down to him. Move to the other person in the account, Cornelius. Cornelius, a Roman centurion. Now, he knew God was great. He knew God was great and needed and was worthy of worship, and he wanted to find out more about God. He wanted to get close to God. He was like the little child with their nose pressed up against the window of the baker's, of the cake shop, or somebody, or the butcher's, where there's something absolutely delicious on the other side of the plate. You can see it, of the glass. You can see it. You can maybe even smell it, but you cannot taste it. Cornelius was like me when I go past some restaurants and I look at the menu and my mouth starts to water. I'm sure we've all done that. We look at if we're really modern, we go online and we've heard this restaurant is very good, and we look at the menu and say, wow, yes, that sounds really attractive, really fantastic. Or we're watching television and we have Jamie Oliver or whoever preparing a fantastic meal, and we can almost smell it through the television, but it's there and we're not tasting it. That's not the point of food. The point of food is to be eaten, not just to look ogle at it and say, ooh, doesn't that look good? Not to look at the menu and say, wow, that's amazing. Not to look at Jamie Oliver or Nigella Lawson or anybody else cooking and saying, wow, that's fantastic. The point of food is to eat it. There are many menu Christians amongst us, well, perhaps amongst us, but certainly in the world. We look at all that Jesus has to offer us. We know that what Jesus has to offer us is fantastic. It looks amazing. It looks wonderful, but we've never tasted it. We may come to church, we may read the Bible, we may do lots of good works, but that's just looking at the menu. That's only looking at the menu. That's only watching what others are doing on the television. God wants, as the Bible says, one of the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then Isaiah reminds us, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Jesus wants us not just to admire him, but to enjoy him, to experience him in our own lives. And it may be we've just been looking at Jesus for years and years and years and saying, wow, isn't that great? And admiring him and admiring all he has to offer. Don't stay there. Do what Cornelius did. Because Cornelius took a huge step of faith. Cornelius was in Caesarea, Simon Peter was in Joppa. Now, I don't know the exact distances between them, but it must have been a fair distance, because Cornelius had his vision and said, find out where Simon Peter is, and he sent men off straight away. And it was only the following day at noon that Peter had his vision and that the men arrived. So they had a long journey. Cornelius trusted God, trusted that vision from God, and sent men. Peter also, after a bit of a shock, trusted God and went with the men. Cornelius obeyed, Peter obeyed the vision. He knew that it was time to break down barriers, to break through. I mean, he has a wonderfully tactful way of opening his address to Cornelius. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. So, it feels like. Oh, and then he says, but God has shown me that I should not call any person impure or unclean. Both obeyed God. Both stepped out in faith. They had to trust that God wouldn't do a nasty on them, that God wouldn't deceive them, that God wouldn't trick them. The question for us, do we trust God? Well, let's sum up what I've been saying. God calls us to think differently and be open to new ways of doing things. He urges us to stop being menu Christians. And we're asked, do we trust God? I know that many people in this congregation and in many churches, when others come to bring their children for baptism, and they stand up and they say, and we ask, do you believe and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And they say, I believe and trust in him. And we're all saying, oh, yes, right. I think when we point a finger at someone, remember three fingers are pointing back at us. We say, I believe and trust in him. Do we? Do we trust God? Will we step out in faith and do what he asks us to do? Now, as I say, we may have been coming to church for years and years, but suddenly we realize we're a menu Christian. If you want to change that, come for prayer today. Don't leave here without coming for prayer today. If you think God is telling you to step out in faith, come for prayer today. If you think God is asking you to do something different, come for prayer today. There'll be opportunity in the service and later for that. But in the meantime, let us bow our heads to pray. Lord God, thank you so much for all that you've given to us. Thank you for Peter and for Cornelius that were willing to think differently, to take a step of faith and to change from being menu Christians into eating, experiencing Christians. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will work in us and change us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We were going to sing again, but we're going to omit the next hymn and go straight on to...